I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Better Podcasting. I'm Stephen John Drew, and with me today is my cohort, Stargate Pioneer.
Hey, how's it going? I love the cohort, by the way. It's like we're doing planning a heist like Ocean's 11, so can we call ourselves like the Better Podcasting 2?
I like it. The Gunna Geek 2? No, that doesn't work.
No, get it, because we're not going to geek. I mean, we are going to geek, but we're not the Gunna Geek podcast. We're the Better Podcasting podcast.
That's true.
Podcasting,
yes. I like it. I think we can do it. We'll change the URL next week. Does that work for you?
Oh, we just added URL. We won't change it.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. It's almost the festive Christmas time, isn't it?
It is. Got a ton of presents ready for everybody and just excited to see what the kids like, what my parents like, see family, and then take a week off of podcasting to kind of regroup and come back at it hard in 2016.
Yeah, and I heard you got a hell of a deal when you bought so many AT-2005s, right? Because you just bought one for everybody, right?
When you buy them by the barge full, first of all, you have to do it earlier in the year so that the rivers don't freeze over when it's going to be delivered. And second of all, you better make sure that you have that, you know, $1 million credit limit on your credit card.
Right. Well, lucky for you, you do have that, right?
It comes with the territory of being the vice president of the Gunna Geek chapter of Audio Technica.
Yeah. Oh, so that's where all the income went.
You never know where the income has gone.
So today we are continuing on with our second of our three-part series on our gear. That's right. We talked a little bit about my gear last week, and guess what? This week we are moving on into SP's gear. Now, we did preface this last time, but if you didn't listen to the show last time, we do want to go ahead and just remind you that if you do not have any of this gear, don't worry. That's okay. SP and I have been sort of building up our repertoire. Should we call that? That doesn't really work in this sense, but we have been building up our collection for quite some time, and it has been a slow build, but it is something that we do have this stuff, so we thought we would share it with you.
And I might add that we wait for sales too. So we talked about that before.
Yes. You know, yes.
Go to the deal sites, Slick Deals, Spoofy, Fat Wallet, you know, whatever it is, and just be prepared. And then the deals that the websites have themselves, just be prepared, because as a matter of fact, the day that we're podcasting on this, there's an incredible deal on a piece of gear that I'm about to show you that I am incredibly jealous. And our co-host on Good Geek, Chris, he showed it to us and I was like, oh, I got so mad. But it just happens. The gear is always cheaper later on.
It's true. And we also want to give a special shout out here to a fan that wrote us feedback. Now, usually we read our feedback towards the end of the show, but we want to go ahead and throw this in here. Now, we had Cajun Sean, who did find and read or view our video on YouTube. He made a great suggestion for how we should be doing this series. And it's only really going to apply this time, but here is the thing. He actually suggested that we're doing a video show as well as an audio show. So on the video show, why don't we show our gear You know, we're still kind of getting used to this whole video thing, but absolutely a phenomenal idea. So I am pleased to say that we managed to last minute, because this comment was just made early this morning. We have together this for, as we run through all of SP's gear, you will be able to, on the YouTube side of things, see his gear, and actually he can point to it and you can see sort of what it's like to be Stargate Pioneer. And it's I've seen like 5 minutes of this now, and I feel all sorts of more fantastic.
Yeah, it was the original intent when I put together the gear to be able to do a shot like that. And ironically, we actually had to go to a tertiary solution this time around, because we actually wanted to show my gear. So we have to show the gear that I would have used to do the shot.
Yeah.
So we cobbled it together with my iPhone 6, and it's on a tripod to my right. And you'll be able to see the gear as we walk through it. But this is not going to be a normal shot for Better Podcasting. Sorry, guys.
Not yet. Not yet. I got to get my camera, right?
Sure. I've got plenty of cameras. I know you probably need a second camera or whatever. You could probably use your Android to do the same thing.
I probably could. Oh, but
it does take a lot of bandwidth, because we're talking about multiple 1080 streams coming through and whatever. So, and we're not in the same house. We're not on the same network. We have to actually go over the internet to get to each other. So, the fewer trons you can send back and forth, the better off you're going to be. So
sure. But I got lots. I got gigabit local. So you have my brain a stirring, but let's go ahead and just roll right into it. And Sean, thank you for that suggestion. First off, I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it was kind of last time around, I was thinking, you know, it'd be great to actually show this stuff. But so thank you very much, Sean. And hopefully this scratches your itch. And I will say, like I just said, I will reiterate this. This will not be a normal thing. I just can't do it on a regular basis. The setup is just not sustainable. So for special occasions only, and in this particular case, you are the special occasion, Sean. So congratulations.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, let's just go ahead and roll into your list of stuff. I will turn it over to you like you did to me last week, and let you just roll through your stuff.
First of all, I'm actually going to start with my mobile gear, which we kind of alluded to last time around with you, but I actually have kind of a pack of mobile gear that I take with me. And first of all is the Audio-Technica AT2005, and I'm opening the bag of stuff that I have right now, and it actually comes with the MY325 shock mount as well inside the bag, and it's the bag that came with it. So I love this mic. It's my favorite mic. I believe it is Steven's favorite mic as well. It is so neat because of the technology involved. It's got XLR, it's got USB, so we can go out to both Skype and the recorder. And then I also have
I just want to interrupt you really quick. You're showing the bottom there. I don't think we've ever talked about that, actually. As you held that up, it reminded me, there's actually, I don't know why I'm making the hand the gesture like I've got it in my hand, but there is a volume adjustment on the bottom, and I believe that's for the, if you were to plug your headphones in the bottom, because that mic actually has the capability as well that you can plug your headphones in to the microphone. So we haven't really talked about that, but as you're holding that up, I thought I should mention that.
Right, and I've experienced, I wouldn't say problems, but it's depends on what the driver is on your phone, and I was just about to get to that as well, but if in your computer, you can actually choose whether the volume is going out via the AT2005 sound card, or whether you can go out your normal volume through your computer, your mixer, or whatever, so you can choose on your computer. With a cell phone, at this point in time, you can't really, and then I need these, it has a USB cord, and you need one of these, basically, to connect it. Now, the white one is, I'm holding a iPhone Lightning Connection camera kit adapter that has the USB connection to it so that you can connect to cameras, but also iOS, Apple, has made it so that you can pass microphones back and forth. Now, not all apps work with this. For instance, Blab does not work with this. So you have to actually use the headphones jack for that. And then this,
and I just want to jump in here and clarify, and what SP is talking about is with his travel bag, he likes to plug this gear directly into a phone of some form or a tablet, not a laptop.
Yeah, well, you could do a laptop as well, but in some cases, if you don't have Wi-Fi signal and you're only going off of the cellular data, which has happened to me multiple times, you have to use that. And then this is the particular piece with the cellophane still on it. That's great. That I use with the Samsung Note 3. So just there are these USB adapters that you can get for Android phones, for iOS, whatever. So that's easily taken care of. And I do have one of these foam adapters for the cage of the AT2005 as well. But the big thing is the shock mount on here. It's the same one that Steven actually used with his AT2005. It's the OnStage MY325. It's a great little shock mount. And it's $10. So even if you're at home, you can use one of these and you will get the shock mount benefits, right? So that is awesome to have. And then, as you could see, this is a wide stick mic. It's not the normal width for or diameter for a stick mic. So you need a special shock mount. Not all stick mic shock mounts will work. In this case, this one does. So that's cool. And for that microphone, I don't take this with my mobile gear, but I have a fuller cage shock mount called the OnStage MY420 that will work for the AT2005 and the ATR2500. So that is cool. Now, if I can't connect the microphone to the phone with the USB cord, I have this iRig Pre. Now, I thought this was going to be great. I thought I'd be able to pass audio back and forth all day long, which you can, but the problem is, at least with the iPhone, that it, I forget what the term is, but it actually passes the audio back like half duplex or something. I forget the actual technical term, but you get your voice and the other voice. So there's no way to multi-track when you get it out. So there is this. And then the other problem is if I want to play sounds like my soundboard, it can't go out through this. Now, iRig has come out with a dual XLR Pre. And I wrote them, said I would like to demo one, and they have not yet gotten back to me. Mm. So hopefully they will eventually, because I would love to test that capability as well.
Side tone.
That's so it's not half duplex.
That's the name of it. I'm sitting here like thinking, I know the term. I've talked about the term. But yeah, side tone.
So both the ATR2100 and AT2005, try saying that fast six times. They come with this little dinky stand, right? It will work, but it's not very optimal. So the question is, can you get a desktop stand to go mobile that's light to go with you? And the answer is yes, you can. Because normally desktop stands come with big, huge lead bottoms to them to keep them from toppling over. Well, our friend over at Gallifrey Public Radio, yeah, like that. And I have like six of those. I took them to a meetup once, and taking them through the airport was rather nice. What do you got there? Is that a bomb? No. It's just audio gear. Trust me. It's okay. So yeah, TSA was very thrilled at that point in time. So just a mental note, take the lead out of your bag or check it. Either way. So here over at Gallifrey Public Radio and in defense of, came up with this this great new era stand as well, this Hamilton new era tabletop mic stand. It's about, I don't know, $13-$15 on Amazon. And what's great about this is it's got a wide base to it, and it's got this extreme extension, so you don't have to bend over the desk to talk. Now, you have to bend over to get to the mic, but at least you don't have to bend down while you're talking about it on it too. So this is a handy little thing, and I'm glad I found it. And it's very light, doesn't take a lot of space, and I take it with me everywhere. Now, the final thing that I take with me when I go mobile, besides my laptop, because you got to edit, right? is this Zoom H5. Now, as you will see later, I actually have an active Zoom H6 that's recording us right now. But when I go, there you go. Pointing to it now. For the audio listener, we showed it very briefly. But this Zoom H5 is great. It's got two XLR ports. It also has we haven't really talked about it as much, but it's got a removable capsule. So it's got the standard XY microphones on it, but I do have the capsule to put two additional XLRs, and it's currently on the H6 right now, hooked up there. But this is an amazing piece of technology. A lot of the mobile people on Gonna Geek use the H5 for various things, and for interviews, for convention panels, whatever. It's got the adjustable gain knobs. It's got push buttons so you can choose which channels you're recording or not, and quick push buttons to start and stop, stuff like that. Previous to the H5 and the H6, a lot of it was considered digital control. So if you look at such as the Zoom H4N, you actually have to go through menus to do all that sort of stuff. And an additional thing that's kind of fun with this is it can also double as an audio interface, but you lose your recording capability. So instead, what I use if I do need to input multiple channels in is I can easily use it like to a stream, not to mix minus, but there is a line out. There we go. There's a line out right next to the headphone jack. And so you can stream that. Now I use the line out on the H6 to stream Spreaker on a laptop. So it works great. I love it. One other piece of audio gear that I have found it's kind of useful for mobile or home use is this DI box. Now, the particular one that I found that works, and I've got five of them, is the LiveWire Solutions Direct Box. And what this does is it helps a little bit with the noise ground loops that you get, but really what it's meant to do is help with the balanced on balance signals that you might get going from like a musical instrument into the mixer, basically one electronic piece to another, very similar to a ground loop, but it's slightly different. And the effects of this though are very similar to a ground loop noise isolator. So you can get double effects out of this, meaning it's very useful. And I enjoy them. The problem is these are $30 a piece. They go as much as $150 a piece.
Yeah.
So they can get pricey. And I realize that in the home studio, maybe a ground loop noise isolator might be your first shot if you do have a mismatch of electricity running through your system.
And I don't actually have it accessible, but just on the note of DI boxes, if you are thinking about doing a direct injection box, you're going to go hop on right now and you're going to see, yes, SP told you that they're about $30. And then you're going to see a bunch of ones that are cheaper, such as the Behringer one, the DI-400P, and then there's also a Pile Pro one. I will tell you this. The reason I have this one sitting right here is because it stopped working on me after a few months of use. Same thing with the Pile Pro. So my experience so far is based off of what I've seen myself and what SP's experience is, it's probably worth spending a little bit more money on.
Right. And I really enjoy what I've got. And eventually I might go to a rack mounted system, but it's fine for what they are. Until they start going bad, I won't even take a look at that. And then also, I originally bought this for my travel microphone, and I went with the AT2005 instead, but it's the ATR2100. If you've watched the YouTube before, you've seen it. I do have it, and I have used it a few times. Very usable microphone. The one thing I will say, as I'm sure we've said before about the ATR2100 versus the AT2005, is this has a lifetime warranty. The AT2005 only has a one-year warranty. So if you're looking down the road and you want to protect yourself against having to buy another one for $35 on sale, then go ahead and get the 2100 versus the 2005. Okay, so that's my mobile gear. Did I miss anything, Steven? You know my gear just as well as I do.
No, not that I can think of.
There is one thing.
Your laptop?
Well, yeah, the laptop, and we'll get to that in a second. The other thing is headphones. I do bring my studio monitoring headphones with me. Actually, on the road, I use my Audio-Technica ATH-M50X, which is not in the room right now. It's actually in my work bag because I do take it to work and I do use it at work. It does have a lot more bass on it, or the lower frequencies than the 40s, which I'm wearing right now. So I don't like to use them for podcasting and editing as much as I do the 40s. So, but I like listening to them. So if I'm somewhere and I'm listening to music or whatever, like on the plane, I will use the 50s. So I take them in my travel bag.
Oh, your mic flag. I know that you're making a travel mic flag. I know that's what you're talking about. You haven't done it yet, but I know that you're totally making a travel mic flag too.
Yeah, it's going to be a marquee, right?
Okay.
So it's just going to go over the front of the microphone camera or whatever. And then
you wrap up your backdrop too, right? No, I'm just kidding.
If you're on location, you might as well show off the location, no matter where it is, good or bad. So if you're at Walt Disney World, you're at the beach, you might as well show that off. If you're at a trash dump, well, might as well show that off too. So it's like,
as long as it's YouTube appropriate, right?
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. If it's in Vegas and you're at some place where you probably shouldn't be for little kids, then don't show it.
Okay. So that's your travel bag. What do you got going on in your main agenda?
Well, okay. So we'll start with a microphone. I do have the Sennheiser E935. I kind of jumped up in quality from the Behringer XM1800S, which I actually don't have out. It's one of the few pieces of gear that I didn't take out. I would recommend, if you're just starting out, to use the Audio-Technica microphones versus the Behringer XM1800S. And they're cheap, though. So if you have a panel that you need like six people, you just buy a couple of cases for 30, 40 bucks and you can get them. And they're not bad microphones, but there are better microphones out there. So I jumped from that to the Sennheiser and just absolutely love the Sennheiser. It has been a sweetheart of a mic. I do have some issues with it and we'll discuss that next week. But as far as a stick microphone, this is awesome. I also have it in a shock mount. It is a Audio-Technica, as you can actually read it on the camera if you're watching, an AT8410A. The only problem with this is it won't actually encompass the larger diameter Audio-Technica microphones that I just saw. So I did buy this first, thought it would fit the ATR2100. It did not. So I can't recommend it for those. But for every other microphone, like the Blue microphone, the Shure SM58, it works great.
Yeah, and I should say, out of the array of microphones that I have, the Audio-Technica are the only two that don't fit the standard shock mounts in various microphone clips. The rest that I have seem to be within the usual scope of the diameter of a microphone, just the AT ones that are fatter.
Fat. Is that pH, fat?
Both ways.
Going both ways. All right. Kid-friendly show. All right. So now moving up the chain here on just what's holding the microphone, you can see that I have a mic flag on it. And it's not better podcasting all the way around, by the way. That's just a trick of the camera. We just show the face of it. And if I, as you see the cheat, I have Gonna Geek and Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then a Gonna Geek Podcast Network one. I can spin around depending on whatever I do. So that is the cheat there.
Hey, you know what? It's better than unscrewing these things every damn time. Every time.
I can't.
No.
If it was a click thing, like those quick release, like air hose things or water hose things, it'd be fine. But no, these screw on and you have to actually unhook it from the XLR cord and everything. So, yeah.
Which, by the way, listener, if you haven't gathered, it's our laziness that has made us not do this rear shot from now on, because we just don't want to have to show you that every single time or switch out the mic flag. That's what it is. No.
Actually, can you go back to that shot for a second?
All right.
So this, as you're seeing, is a table mic stand that I had when I started. And as you recall, during my mobile gear, I said I had a couple of stands that I just couldn't recommend for mobile gear. This is actually one of them. And it's pretty neat because it's got a little arm on it. It's made for like a bass drum or a bass drum on a set or whatever, just a low instrument. But this arm, this boom arm, has saved my bacon because my Heil PL2T microphone boom arm is not long enough to reach from where it's mounted on the wall all the way over to the center of my desk. So I actually had to augment by using one of these underneath the Heil boom arm. So when you see me from the front, you will see that I don't have the same cool Heil PL2T. PL2T. Yeah. I had to check for a second. It's not P2. It's PL2T signature there because I had to actually buy a 90-degree augmenter to get the mic down from there.
By the way, I love how similar our history with gear is, because I had to dig this out too. Similar sort of thing. Mine was floor mount, but yeah, I had that same sort of thing too to begin with. And I know I talked about loving it last time, but the PL2T is a wonderful, wonderful scissor arm. I don't know what you call it, something like that.
boom extension arm or whatever. I do have a couple of floor stands. I don't use them because I literally don't have the floor space around here, so it's nice just to be able to swing this away and not have to worry about it. And one thing that I do like about the Heil arm is it does have the channel in there for the XLR cord, so it's not just wrapping around the arm as it's moving up and down. So that is neat. Even though I've got a cord dangling from the boom arm extension that I have, it's the rest of it is fine. So as long as we're on the shot, as you can see, I have a great Mackie Pro FX 16 V2 mixer. It retails regularly for $500. I did not want to buy this because I had a mixer, the same one that Steven uses, the Behringer X1622 USB. It went bad. I needed another mixer, and I was kind of tired of my Behringers going bad because I had two of them back to back within really 12 months that went bad. So I'm like, okay, I need something that is like a tank. I do not recommend this for the starting podcaster. Yeah, it's huge, right? You don't need it, right? And the smaller mixers, like the Pro FX 8 V2 or the 12, that's fine. You don't need, this is $500. If you could get it cheaper, that'd be great. Matter of fact, that is actually what's on sale today for $350, which you're not going to get any other time. Mm-hmm. But if you do get a chance to get this for $350, it's a heck of a deal. Take it.
I just want to point something out to the listener as well. If you actually look at that board, if we just analyze how many knobs and buttons there are on a single row, it is exponentially greater than a kind of a starter mixer. So think about all of those knobs and buttons do something. So if you make that something wrong, that could be a real trouble or problem for you trying to troubleshoot it. So make sure that you are equipped or even prepared to deal with something of that magnitude if you are going to buy that board, which is why we always recommend something a lot simpler for your first board.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I started out with a small board, really a 2 XLR mixer, and went up from there. And each mixer that I did advance got more capabilities, and I had to figure out how to use them. Even going from kind of a similar mixer, the 1622, to this one, it was just a night and day on what I actually had to do with it. Now, the capabilities on this thing are great, but will the average podcaster use all of it? No. I'm barely using all of it, and that's just because it's available. I want to try it.
But yeah.
If you're the average podcaster, you want to plug and go, and it's just a mixer this big is not made for plug and go.
For sure. For sure. All right. So what else you got going on in your list there?
All right. So I've got above the mixer is where my Zoom H5 or H6 is mounted. And as you can kind of see, I've got 6 plugs going in out of the mixer into it. And it's great. Love it. I'm only actively recording 3 channels right now. And usually when I'm podcasting, I'm better podcasting. It's 2, but I did 3 just because we have a special surprise for you in a minute. So we've got that. And then underneath the mixer, this is actually how we distribute Better Podcasts.
Yes, it is. It's actually the new technology. What it is, it's essentially a piece of magnetic strip. And no, it's a tape deck. That's what he has below it. Below his wonderful, glorious board that I am extremely jealous of, SP has a damn tape deck.
Yeah, a dual cassette tape deck. There's a reason for it. There's a lot of family recordings, and I'm trying to digitize them. And it just, you actually have to play them and then listen to them. So it's just really slow, and I'm doing six podcasts. So it's like, when am I going to have the time? So it's sitting there. It does get used from time to time, about once a week. But I can't wait to get rid of it.
I love your reason for it. Like, I will say that I think your reason for it is phenomenal. But it's just, I love looking at it, thinking, look at that glorious board above a tape deck. Like, I just love it. I love it.
Yeah, and actually I have plans for that area, hopefully in a couple weeks, so we'll see what happens with the tape deck. Now, really to the right of the mixer, you will see a little silver box. I can't really reach it from where I'm sitting, but it is a, yes, it is a Behringer product. It is the Behringer HA 400, right?
Yeah, HA 400, yep.
And it's a headphone amplifier, and it does four outputs of the board. So I've got it running a couple of different places depending on what's going on in the mix minus. So yeah, once you get this advanced, a headphone amplifier, or if you have multiple co-hosts in the same room or whatever, mm-hmm. you need something like that. So it's worked for me so far. Unfortunately, the Mackie version is like five times as expensive or something like that. So the Behringer works just fine right now. All right, so I'm gonna go on my desk right now. You'll see three different iOS mobile devices, and you will see on two of them I have Bostock Studio up. So this is my iPad mini 2 that has Bostock Studio, and my fat fingers just can't do it. This was the original soundboard for Starling Tribune, and as you can see, there's only six sound cards. You can go 12, but I can't. If I hit one, I hit four of them, so I have four sounds going off at the same time. So I really needed to expand to the larger tiles. Now, since I have done this, I have heard that there's a program called iJingle on the iOS device, which is a very versatile sound card program. And I might actually take a look at it as well. But Bostock Studio does a great job. It interfaces with Dropbox, so it's pretty cool there. But
by the way, I hope that the second version of iJingle is iJingle all the way. That's what I hope.
All the way until you get to the Santa Claus, right?
Exactly.
On the left, you will see an iPhone 5S. This is normally where my 6 goes, and I only have it up to show this is how we communicate sometimes on Hangouts if we're on a live show and we can't use the chat to communicate in front of everybody else. We're trying to do some behind the scenes communications. So that's generally where that is. And I have them all on stands, and the particular stands I have the iPhones on have little spaces for the cords to go through. And the one that I have for the iPad does not. So it's just a matter of stuff. And then I started with this stand for my Surface RT as well. And it's I forget what it's called, but it's like $10 on Amazon. So it works really well. It's very light and flexible, and you can take it anywhere. So there you go. Now, above my monitors, you will see not one, not two. There's two lit up, but there's actually three Logitech C920s. That's because I've got one going to my main computer, one going to my streaming computer, and then one going to a secondary Skype computer that we can multi-track a guest on several of my podcasts. Audio only. I use the camera to communicate back and forth. I do not have the Skyposaurus that Steven has, and he's sending me great pictures, as you can see on the Hangouts. So I'm sure that his kids will love to see those in 10 years.
Hey, they were completely appropriate. I just took them now.
So anyway, I have the three Logitech C920s, got them all on sale for $40 or less. So they are very versatile. And one of them would generally be used for this side shot of my gear, except for we actually wanted to show the three C920s. So there you go. Now, above the C920s is my Surface RT. And you can see that I have, well, maybe you can't see it, but I have the chat wing chat that we use for Gonna Geek on there. So when I'm actually on the Gonna Geek podcast and I'm trying to watch the chat, that's how I do it. And oh, by the way, it actually acts as a nice white light reflector. So it's an additional light source. I have two main monitors that I use. I have a third off to the side. It's a smaller 4x3. And above there, you see my studio monitors. Now, they're speakers, but they have a flat frequency response, kind of like the headphones that I'm wearing right now. They are M-Audio AV40s. They have been replaced by the AV42s. I'll just reposition the camera there so you can see the left speaker. And actually, you can see kind of the right speaker up there as well.
Yeah.
And then you can also see my clamp lights. They are... trying to remember their name. There's the Limo Studio tabletop light clip light.
By the way, remember, don't even use the word remember when we're doing a show where you can actually see what your screen is doing. We all just saw you pull up your show notes, by the way, which is why you should always have show notes for your podcast. So you got busted this episode, SB. Good try though. No.
Fair enough. So I've got a light on this side and a light on that side. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of space. Otherwise, I would get some floor lamps behind and floor lamps up ahead. But I'm basically in a closet. I was thinking about this space before. It's a walk-in closet is what my home office is. And there's not a lot of space for that sort of stuff. And I'm doing the best I can. And I think the quality, as you can see, is actually pretty good for the size that we have here. And then all the way over there behind this monitor, you will see a little hanger. That is where my Sony MDR7506s are hung. And I do use those whenever I have to actually monitor out of the M audios with headphones. And as you can see from the side shot, I have the 40s on as well. I have a 17-inch laptop that I just bought. And if you're going to mobile and you're doing multi-track editing, a 17-inch screen is actually wonderful. And I've got my older Dell Inspiron. Can't even remember the model name, but it's like a 6 or 7 year old laptop. It barely functions for the stuff that we needed to do. And that's why I got the newer laptop. But it does act as the secondary Skype multi-track machine, which is great. Okay, Steven, I just wanted to show off again. I do have the Blue Encore 100 microphone. And I'm trying to show off the blue here, and you keep switching shots on.
Sorry. My bad.
It's all right. So this is a great microphone. I really enjoyed using it. I just enjoyed the sound that comes out from my voice from the Sennheiser. And I wanted to bring this up to make a point. It is the 100. It's not the 100i. So this is the XLR output. It is not the USB output. So I would not recommend the USB. I would recommend the XLR version.
And really, it is a shame because... on these sort of dynamic handheld microphones, you do really have to put it close to your mouth if you want good quality. So you really do have to stuff a mic foam on top of it. And it's just such a beautiful mic. It really is such a beautiful mic. And I tried one episode. Actually, I don't even think I got the whole way through it to do it without it. But it's just, you got to have it too close. You can kind of do it a little bit on the side, but you're still getting your P's popping and everything like that. So it's such a gorgeous mic, though.
You know what I would think that would be good is if you bought a bunch of them on the 2-for-1 deal and you were doing a round table or a convention sort of thing where they're on the table and away from the mouth a little bit without the mic foam on them. It's the same as the PR22 where they have the gold, yes, and the black ones. So if you're going for show, these are probably the best option unless you want the gold.
I agree. And if I was to run a panel, I would totally pick up several of these just from a visual perspective. Like if you were going to go between this and the AT2005s and you had the XLR capability and you were willing to spend a little bit more, I just love the visual. I think it's great.
Yep. And then another thing that I just want to make sure I point out, can you go to the wide shot, please, sir?
Absolutely.
You can barely see it. I'm going to get my mug out of the way. going into the laptop is one of my Griffin iMics, the little white thing right there. And I it's actually connected. I can't, and it's actually working right now, and it's recording my, and like we talked about with Steven's gear, he uses the Hapage recorder for the backup. I use this laptop as my backup through the secondary camera, and the sound is actually coming through on the iMic, so I can't actually take it up and show you, but there is another one that's connected to my main PC as well. Mm-hmm. It's a great little audio interface. If you can pick one up, I highly recommend that you do. The Behringer UCA222 is also good, but if you need multiple different sound cards so that your computer doesn't get confused, that I really like this Griffin iMic. It's really good. All right. So I do have a newer Dell computer. It's actually a couple years old now, the Dell XPS 8700. It's got an i7 processor, which is a 4790 in there. It's got 16, actually, it came with 16. It's got 24 gigabytes of RAM in there. As soon as I can get it to Windows 10, it'll have 32, but that is a story for another podcast. I did, talking about deals, so Slick Deals on Black Friday last year, so Black Friday 2014, they said, hey, Walmart has the Netgear R7000 Nighthawk AC1900 wireless router for $80. I was like, this is a $200 router. So I ran to Walmart, I picked it up, and on the shelf, it was still $200. What had happened is they had a sale for the one below it, which was normally like $100, $120 router. And so they mismatched it in the computer. So I bought it, I got home, and 5 minutes after I got home, Walmart had fixed the issue. And there was a bunch of posts on Slick Deals said, yeah, just tried it, couldn't get it. So I was like, yes, got it. So you do need, if you're doing video, you need a lot of throughput on the bandwidth. So you're going to need a new router. I have a heck of a lot of Wi-Fi running through this house with everybody gaming or using YouTube or Netflix or whatever. So I needed a really good router, and I'll probably have to replace it in a couple of years as well, but it is working fine right now.
The problem with routers that people often forget about is that it's a device that really is running 24/7, and you forget about that. And so people get really frustrated when they die every few years. But what other equipment do you have of that size and price range that runs for 24/7? So people do often forget about that.
Right. And I've had to restart it many times, as well as the modem, our cable modem. So, you know, you have to upgrade the firmware. You have to baby them every once in a while, and just to get that 2, 3, maybe 4 years, but then you got to move on to something else. They just fry. Like a power surge, eventually you're going to get one that's going to fry it. So, okay. So if I have an in-studio guest, I actually have a few better quality headphones that I can give them now. But a couple of years ago, I was just running the Sennheiser HD201s. So this is what they look like. And they're very good for the price. I have not managed to find another one with as good sound quality or build. I mean, for $20, build, quote unquote, you know, you eventually they're going to break, but they are phenomenal for the price. They don't have very good sound isolation, and the sound is also not as full as you would get from a higher price headphones. So they were really great for me to start, and they're really good for guests if I have multiple guests in the room or whatever. But that's why I still have them, but I'm not going to use them on a day-to-day basis. All right. So what else we have? Oh, the M-Audio AV40s are actually on isolation pads. Do you need them? No. But I chose them because, as you saw, I have a hutch, which they're mounted on, and I just don't want the vibrations, particularly on the lower frequencies, to translate through the hutch to all the little trinkets that are up there. So I have them on the isolation pads. And I think that is it, other than to say from the... I don't think I got to say this before because I got stumped on what kind of lighting gear I had. Make sure your lights are natural lights, so like 5,500K yes. to 6,000Ks. So the bulbs that are in those lamps are 5,500, and the bulbs that are above me in the ceiling, I replace those with 5,500K. So that is my lighting, and I'm able to get away with it as it is. So I know that's a lot that we just covered. This is just us showing off our gear. If you are starting off, let me reiterate, ATR 2100, get yourself one of those, and everything else is, it depends.
Oh, and the Mackie board. That's a necessity, right? No, I'm just
kidding. If you're going to get a board, a Mackie's not a bad way to go.
No, but your Mackie board. That's what I mean.
Yeah, this great big monstrosity. Yeah. It's a fun one, but make sure you get the dual tape deck, cassette tape deck.
Yes, that is the must, because there is nothing better than actually physically mailing your podcast to your audience.
Yeah, and if you want to hear all about RSS distribution, go listen to the Podcasters Roundtable number 62, and that is what gets rid of these tapes.
Yep. Before we do move on to the download, because we do have this camera set up right now, last time I had referred to my Heil PL2T as a mic stand, because honestly, I didn't have a way to really explain the way that the scissor swing boom arm works, because it goes by a variety of names. But if you actually look, as SP pans up his camera there, you're going to see that it is essentially a spring-loaded mechanism stand that allows you to actually grab on it, move it around, do whatever you want with it, and really just put it right into the most comfortable spot. And there was two reasons I got rid of that floor stand boom that I talked about earlier. Number one was I did move rooms to a smaller room. And the second thing was I just couldn't get it in a comfortable position consistently where I could move it out of the way in between shows and then bring it back for the show. So it is a wonderful stand, and I hope if you see it there, you can see some of the benefits to having that. And the last thing that I think you completely forgot to point out, SP, was as you panned up, you could see your array of books on how to do podcasting. I thought that they were all 100% how-to manuals.
Yeah, no. If you want to read a Podcasting 101 book, I know there's various ones around. I don't remember what the name of it is, but Rob Walsh over at Libsyn and Today in iOS, he has a wonderful Podcasting 101 book. I would recommend that. And there's a bunch of other ones. I just can't remember it off the top of my head. So there are good ones. There are ones that I would not recommend. So since I can't remember which ones are good and which ones are not, go to Rob Walsh and Podcast 411 and he will take care of you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, SP, and very, very informative. And I have to say, as you ran through it, I remembered all sorts of things that I have around here, lights included, that I forgot to mention last time. So, you know, well, if people want to go ahead and ask me what I forgot about, you can, but I think SP has pretty much the same sort of stuff. So just listen to his list.
Except for our backdrop. So we have two completely different backdrops.
That's true.
You have a wonderful self-made backdrop. I'm very jealous of the backlighting that you have going on. I simply could not do something like that here because my camera is at a different angle than his is. But I use a photo backdrop. This is actually a chroma key gray, basically, backdrop. And it's on a photo, it's light, right? It's not a professional made one, so I wouldn't want to travel with it, even though you could, but it's just on a standard photo backdrop stand. So that's what I've got.
Awesome. Well, before we do move into the download, I just want to go ahead and remind everybody that we are part of the Gunna Geek Network at gunnageeknetwork.com, and there are a variety of great podcasts on there, and I just want to take this moment to tell everybody that a lot of the network is taking a bit of a break over Christmas just to spend some time with the family and whatnot. So right now is a great time to check out all of the podcasts on the network. I know we usually like to highlight a specific one, but with the break coming up, this is a great time to go ahead and check out all of the amazing podcasts on the Gunna Geek Network.
Yeah, most of all of them are taking a break. I know one in particular will not be taking a break. That is Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Long Box Edition. So if you need to get your comic fix in for the week, go ahead Wednesday nights. It will drop and you will get it.
Well, let's go ahead and move in to the Better Podcasting download.
Let's do it.
All righty, SP, what do we got going on for the download this week?
You know, finding a good quality researched article about the basics of podcasting, I mean, basics like the industry of podcasting, is very hard to come by. And in this particular time, there have been, in 2015, there were a few articles. Well, I hadn't seen a good academic researched paper or report on it until this week. And the Toe Center for Digital Journalism, which is part of the Columbia Journalism School, actually had one of their, I don't know if she's a student or a teacher, I should have reached out to her, but her name is Vanessa Quirk, and she wrote this phenomenal guide to podcasting. Now, it's not a podcasting 101 for hobby podcasters. It's actually for the digital journalism industry, but it has some wonderful foundational things with it. And the people that she interviewed are the people that I would go and talk to at Edison Research. Rob Walsh is actually interviewed here because he does a lot of podcasting stats for Libsyn. If you want to know what the latest average is in downloads or where people are actually downloading from as an industry, Rob publishes those on the Feed Podcast, which is Libsyn's official podcast, comes out every other week. And some great stuff there. But you get all that information that is from all these great reports in this study, I guess, is a way to call it. And I guess if you're hobby podcasting, there are four individual case studies in there. So if you're interested in the industry of how to make money in podcasting, you'll see how hard it is and what the hurdles are to podcasting, both hobby podcasting and professional podcasting. But there is some great stuff in it. Steven, have you taken a look at this? Is there anything in particular that just jumps out at you?
No, I don't have anything in particular that I want to point out. However, I do encourage people to go over and have a look. And it's done in a manner. I'm a graph guy. I like graphs and whatnot. But there's a lot of really, really good, I don't know, what would you call it? visual imagery that actually helps it from just being sort of a boring page of text. Like, I think it's done it in a very well written manner and with good visual aids. That's what I'm looking for.
So there was a couple of stories in the past year that when Serial came out, this, oh, podcasting is going through a resurgence. Well, no, it's not. The very first graph that you're talking about has a steady growth of podcasting from 2006 to 2015. I think 2006 is when they first started really consolidating stats, and it's the graph is percent of people who have ever listened to a podcast, and it goes up from 11 to 33, and that's percent of the U.S. population. So stuff like that is incredible. So podcasting is not going through a resurgence. It is growing just about every year, and there's one drop from 2012 to 2013, and has been explained to me before, that is because of a change in what they described as a podcast listen between 2012 and 2013. So really it didn't drop. It was just the description that changed.
Well,
but you have, yeah.
And one of the other things that I like is that there was the analysis done as well on the devices used. Now, this is very captivating to me because I used to be a diehard computer podcast listener. Like, that would be my morning. Now, part of it's because my lifestyle has changed. I have kids now, where in the morning, the wife would sleep in, I'd be on my computer listening away to podcasts. But now I don't ever listen to podcasts through my computer. And it's just neat to see that information, that the difference even just between 2014 and 2015 as far as the increase in people listening via their smartphone and tablet and whatnot, which makes sense because it's fun to listen on a road trip or whatever.
Right. And there is that graph talking about your smartphones where it says iOS has 41% of the market share and Android has 53% of the active market share, but 82% of podcasters listen, or podcast listeners listen via iOS devices, and only 16% listen from Android devices. Now, this study was made right before Google announced that they were going to add podcasts to Google Play. Now, as of the date of this recording, they have not actually come out with the podcast within Google Play, but I can tell you that just about everybody in the podcasting community has submitted their podcast to Google Play. So we'll see after Christmas when all the new great Android devices come out and Google actually drops it, how that changes between this time this year and this time next year. And the article did reference that it did happen after the research adjudication period went through with the article. So that was pretty cool. So there's lots of great tidbits in this. I'm not going to go over all of them because this is a rather hefty article.
Well,
so
we're not going to read it just word for word on the podcast. No,
that'd be a great podcast. You know, there's a podcast that runs through all of the laws that are passed by the U.S. Congress. I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but there's this one lady that actually reads the laws on her podcast. So yeah, we could do that. We're not going to do that. I would highly suggest you take an hour because that's about how much it's going to take you to digest this and go to the link in the show notes. And it is at toecenter.org. And the article is called Guide to Podcasting. I really encourage you to look it up.
For sure. For sure. But I guess that's going to take us towards the end of episode 8. Before we do let you go tonight, I just want to go ahead and remind you that you can find us through a variety of ways, which can be found at betterpodcasting.com. There's our Twitter, there's our YouTube, there's our Facebook, just a bunch of things. And as Sean pointed out today, or actually indirectly pointed out, you can tell us things that you think would make the show better, and we might even act on them. And thank you very much for that, Sean. I think that was a terrific suggestion and one that we clearly overlooked.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've also had people that are actually tagging us on deals that are still going on in the holiday season that pop up from day to day. We really appreciate that. We'll get them out, turn them as much as we can to everybody. So if you are interested in that piece of gear, the sales are really where to get it. Otherwise, this stuff is going to cost you thousands and thousands of dollars. And you can mitigate that and only spend dozens or hundreds of dollars instead of tens of thousands of dollars.
For sure. For sure. Well, for episode 8 of Better Podcasting, I'm Stephen John Drew.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer.
And I'm SP's Gear. Bye.
See you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.